If you want to be turning in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, and I want to be, take a second to say welcome to everyone, and especially if you're a visitor among us, and especially if you're a first-time visitor, we welcome you in the name of Jesus. We pray that the Lord will bless you abundantly, and thank you for being with us here today. You know, we're going to come back in our praise and worship. We're doing things a little bit different this Sunday for a lot of reasons, but, you know, this is Easter Sunday, and we're kicking off. As you can see down here, there's a table down here, and where our miracle prayer request. We're going to be praying, and if you have also, let me say real quick, in front of you, you'll see these little sheets right there and wherever. If you haven't filled one out, you may fill it out, okay? Your prayer request, if you'd like to do that. They're going to be there. We're going to have them there every Sunday, okay, till Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is May the 19th. This is a kickoff. We're asking God for miracles. And you can fill out this every single Sunday if you want to do that. Or if you want to do it one time, or if you want to do it intermittently, you know, whatever you feel led to do. You know, we're going to lay hands on these prayer requests, and we're going to declare a Holy Ghost proclamation of victory in the name of Jesus on Pentecost Sunday. That comes May the 19th. That's what's happening. Today's our kickoff. Pentecost. The day of Pentecost came 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and not only the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but that we could find the power and the glory of God in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be teaching on these things. It won't be every single Sunday, but I'm going to be teaching on these things, you know, that our faith increase, you know, that we can come up higher in the Lord, spiritually and in faith-wise, and what it takes for us in the Lord Jesus Christ to see the miracle-working power of Almighty God. Now, one thing I want to say about these, because there have been some questions. If you want to put a date on it, I'll tell you what I did with mine. Here's mine, and I got a date. I don't have my name on it. You can put your name on it if you want to do that. It's up to you. We're not going to sit up there and read them. We're asking God to move on them. Okay, that's not what we're doing. You know, so if you want to put, you know, you can put 1, 2, 3, 4. I said I'd go anywhere from 3 to 5. I wouldn't go over 5 at one time. And then, you know, and you can do this every single Sunday. And you can do the same request every single Sunday if you want to. That's all up to you now. Okay, and then later on, I'm gonna have you to get up. And you're going to come down here. I know some of you have already put your paper down there. That's perfectly fine, okay? You know, that's perfectly fine. You come up anyway and you put your hands on these. Put your hands. I want everybody in this church to put their hands on those requests. That can, or you feel comfortable. If you don't feel comfortable, don't do it. And if you can't, if you have problems walking or whatever it would be, or whatever, okay, praise group people. You know, if you want to hand it to your husband, your wife, or whatever, somebody else, and they, you know, do it for you, that's perfectly fine, okay? That's perfectly fine. That's understandable before the hand of Almighty God. All right, so praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God's going to prepare our hearts. We're going to proclaim miracles. Miracles. And, you know, I'm going to begin right here. This is in Galatians chapter 3, if I've got you there. And then I'm going to begin with verse 1. It says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" I mean, they were getting away from some things that had been instituted among them in the power of Almighty God. I'm going to tell you right now, church, there's a work to take the church away from the power of the Holy Spirit. That we put the Holy Spirit somewhere in the back room somewhere, you know, so that we could be more acceptable to the people of the world. You know, and this is not the way of the church, and the church loses all of its power and all of its effectiveness in the earth by such works. We're not ashamed of the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll never walk with God, and you'll never have victory in your life without the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can get away from the Holy Spirit. You can get away from the Holy Spirit. This was what was happening to them. This is what was happening to them. You know, it goes on right here, and he says, who bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. If you received the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith. Then he says in verse 3, are you so foolish? Have you begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? And all, I mean, they whatever it was, but they were being deceived. There's always a work to rob, kill, and destroy. And the people of Almighty God receiving the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues is part of the blessing of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are provisions. These are provisions so that you can live a victorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't live a victorious life without Him. And the reason? This is God's way. This is God's way. This is God's way. I'll get into more of those things as time goes on, you know, but our next verse, it goes on and says this. It says in verse 4, did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Then here's verse 5. Does he then who provides you with the Spirit, now look at this part, and works miracles among you. Now listen to this part. Do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith. Did you hear that? You know, a lot of people think of miracles as, you know, just those uncontrollable mysteries that really nobody knows anything about, you know, and they're kind of like, you know, those things that go bump in the night. You never know when they're coming, and you never know when they're going to disappear. You know, I mean, we don't understand miracles and how they all happen. Not according to this verse. Not according to this verse. Let's look at it a little bit closer that you'll see in verse 5. And he says right here, he says, does he then provide you with the Spirit, look here, and works miracles. How does God work miracles? And works miracles among you. Well, how does miracles take place? Do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith. He tells you and I very clearly how we find the miracle working power of Almighty God. They're to be believed for. Now let me give you this if I can. The word miracles, the Greek word for miracle is dunamis. Dunamis, you know dunamis, you know. You know, Acts 1:8, you know, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. It's the same Greek word, dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. It means this. It means power. It means might. It means strength. Now, you understand that this is not flesh power. This is not flesh strength. This is in the power of God. This is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear what the Word of God is saying to you and me? Almighty God is promising the saints of God that I will give you power. I will give you power. You will not perfect obedience through the works of the flesh. Salvation is a supernatural work of Almighty God. I mean, it's a supernatural work. It can't be explained in any way other than by believing upon the Lord and where He brings transforming power into your life. He forgives you of your sins. The Word of God talks about in John that you're born again. Born again by the Spirit of God. I'm sure you heard that before. You've entered in from your old life into a new life in the life of God. You know, the veil between you and God, the separation, which was made up of commandments, to where we were separated from God, has now been removed. And we now have a right by the blood of Jesus to come and walk and to live and dwell in the presence of the Lord Almighty. And there's just nothing like fellowship with Jesus. There's just nothing like it. with fellowship with Jesus, the reality of Jesus coming into your life. I'm not talking about churchianity. I'm not talking about religiosity. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about knowing Him. I'm talking about walking in the resurrection power of Almighty God. I'm talking about a fellowship. I'm talking about a relationship with God Almighty in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. A reality. I think that's one of the things that took my heart back so much. And when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the reality of Jesus that came into my life that I never dreamed, I never knew, I never realized that I could ever have. Or you can tell me, see, the Spirit of God, I'm going to get in all that. The Spirit of God come upon me. He said, Ron, you may know me. I'm saved. Ron, you may know me. And he caught me. He caught me with that. Goodness gracious, you're kidding me. I can not know about you, not got to have some PhD explaining to you, you know, because, you know, after all, you just, you know, when this is not the world, this is the kingdom of God. We don't operate the same. The Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to you. Oh, what a glory it is. What a glory it is. You know, so that's the power of Almighty God, the power of God. Dunamis. Now, and then see right here again, you know, how does miracles come? It comes by hearing with faith, right? It comes by hearing with faith. You know, that word here is akoe, A-K-O-E is the transliterated in English. Akoe is hearing, and it means hear, the sense of hearing. Now listen, to hear, to listen, or to give heed. You know, haven't you ever had somebody go, hey, wait, listen, did you hear that? Right? That's what it's talking about. That's the hearing that it's talking about. Wait, did you hear that? Did you hear that? You know, that you pay heed to it. You pay heed to it. That's the hearing that he's talking to. You don't just flash by it. You pay heed. You pay heed to the promises of Almighty God. You pay heed to the miracle working power of Almighty God and the need for the miracle working power of Almighty God. How we need miracles today. Yes. Well, I got to say something. I'm going to make a declaration because I want to tell you right now what unmitigated gall for the President of the United States to declare on Easter Sunday National Transgender Day. What unmitigated gall. Now, I know, International Transgender Visibility Day, March the 31st in 09. But our president declared National Transgender Visibility Day to be today. I hope that you, Mr. Christian, know that you are in a cultural war. Yes. And we are in a war for the soul of America. Yes. And it's time to make decisions. It's the time to make the decision to jump in with both feet. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but if you don't jump in with both feet, you may get left behind. Yes. This is not an hour to be riding the fence. This is not an hour to be diplomatic. Oh, well, you know, there are marginalized people. Well, that's what they keep telling you. You know, but you know something I ran into? Did you know that transgenders have 145 days out of 365 holidays declared in America? Did you hear me? 145 days out of 365. National Queer Day. National Trans Mother Day. And I could go on and name 145 of them. I'm telling you now, you're in a war and you're going to lose your nation and you're going to lose your Christian culture if we don't get down to brass tacks, as they say. To be a praying people, to be a believing people, to be a stand-up, counted-for person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Find the power of God and walk fearlessly in the earth. And so I'm going to make, and I put it on my prayer request, God save America. God save America. God save America. We're going to reclaim this nation and this land for the kingdom of God. I know that doesn't mean that we've been such a godly nation. Okay, I'm not that. But there's a difference between that, where we're headed, and it's being founded upon Christian principles. Christian principles. And freely worshiping God without fear of being attacked or ostracized or persecuted. And those are the very things that are going on at this very moment. And the persecution's coming. And it's going to come worse, and it's going to get worse. If you don't have the power of Almighty God, you're going to wilt like a weed and hide under a bench somewhere. That's where we are. These are the days we live. This is the days we live. Now, I want you to hear this, okay? Here's what, for example, in Romans chapter 10, 17, it says this. You've heard it. So faith comes. Now, I want you, that's a promise. Faith comes. Did you hear that? This is the word of the Lord. When does faith come? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, okay? Now, that was the promise of God. That was the promise of God. Now, you know, someone says, you know, when we begin to believe here, I mean, this isn't no little church program I'm looking to introduce here, okay? You know, I'm looking for us to receive miracles from the hand of God. Amen. Are you with me there? This. That's what we're doing right here, is receive miracles. Now, it'll take a cost. I'll be teaching on it all through now through May 19th, you know, as time goes on. So this is just an introduction. There's much to be said, much to be said. But I wanted you to hear this. Now, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. What is that hearing? That hearing is to pay heed. Oh, hey, did you hear that? Did you hear the promise of God? Did you hear that? And you believe on it. Then you apply faith and you believe on it. You believe on it. You know, faith is an action of heart and of mind. Not a theory. Not a theory. Not an intellectual or religious doctrine. You can believe in a doctrine of faith all day long and never practice it once. Faith. Believe. Now, you know, somebody say, well, you know, I have a hard time believing. I mean, you know, standing in faith. Let me read this to you. Romans 12, 3 says, as God has allotted to each the measure of faith. Now, let me read it again. As God has allotted to each the measure of faith. Now, that word measure is the Greek word metron, M-E-T-R-O-N. Metron, and it means the exact measure or portion. God didn't leave you to yourself. He deposited in you the measure of faith. Now, sometimes we're weak in faith because we're not used to walking in faith, just to be quite honest with you, or we don't know how to stand in faith. We're not used to enduring in faith, long-suffering in faith. We don't know it, and so we falter, and sometimes we fail. Because a lot of times after we ask and we believe God, we don't know what to do next, okay? We're going to learn what to do next. We're going to learn what to do next, okay? So, you know, so that you can believe God and you can endure and believe in God and see the miracle working power. Where do you need to see the Lord? Where do you need to see Him? Let me give you this. I'm going to read a few of these scriptures. Matthew 9, just listen, Matthew 9, 22. But Jesus turned and seeing her said, daughter, take courage, your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was made well. Matthew 9, 29, then he touched their eyes, saying, be it done to you according to your faith. Here's Mark 10, 52. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and he began to follow him on the road. Here is Luke 8, 50. Luke 8, 50. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, let it be done to you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very hour. Here is Mark 6,
5 and 6. And he could do no miracle. Listen, isn't this something? And he could do no miracle. This is Jesus. He could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. Listen, and he wondered, at their unbelief. Wow. So yes, faith makes the difference as to what you can receive and can't receive. This throwing everything over into the will of God is sometimes misguided, okay, and a cheap cop-out not to be responsible to believe God and stand before the Lord. Every one of those scriptures said, let it be done according to your faith. Did you hear that? Over and over and over and over it said it. If you're unwilling to believe God, you will not receive any of the miracle-working power of God or the promises of God. This is the condition that you enter into when you come to follow the Lord and give your heart to Jesus, is to believe him. His hands are tied if you're not willing to believe. If you're not willing to venture out there and become bold enough to believe God for things, you won't see the miracle-working hand of God. You'll swear up and down that God doesn't do any miracles just because you don't experience them. But if you start believing God, you've opened a door. For God to start pouring out his miracle-working power. At what level, what degree is the Lord willing to do that? What degree or what level is the Lord willing to do that? I don't know. I mean, what if you believe God for some outlandish thing? Now, let's just don't get too wild here, and get too outlandish, on our request. We need to be kind of level-handed. What? You mean like Peter, who walked on water? You mean level-headed like that? For what reason? Just because. If it's you, Lord, bid me come. Jesus didn't say, oh, Peter, why do you want to do that for? If it's you, Lord, bid me come. Jesus says, come. Now, either throw the whole Bible away if you want to, or you're faced with the reality of that narrative. I'm not going to call it a story because it's not a story, okay? Of that narrative right there. That Peter, a man like you, like me, walked on water. What I find so amazing with all of that is that, a storm was going on, and Peter got his eyes off Jesus, and he started looking at the waves and everything going on around him, and he became afraid, is what the word of the Lord says. He said he became afraid, and then when he became afraid, guess what? He wasn't walking on that water anymore. He started sinking down into that water, and Jesus reached him. Like some teach that, Jesus wasn't walking on the water. And Peter, they were right at the shore. He was really walking on the shore. But if you look at the narrative, it says that they were already several strata from the shoreline. A strata is 600 feet. All right? So that narrative's not true. All right? And so then Jesus reached down and grabbed his hand and raised him up because he got to looking at everything around him. And he got afraid of everything around him, and got his eyes off Jesus. And instead of walking on the water, he began to sink. I love this because after Jesus got him in the boat, Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Faith will transform the things before you that you can't change. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 13, if you would, please. So I want you to take these scriptures. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Get the word of God in you. Get these things in you. Let your faith be built. I'm going to read that one in Galatians 3 again, verse 5. Does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles and works miracles among you, do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith. Miracles. Miracles are believed. Miracles are believed for. Miracles are believed for. They're not bumps in the night. They're not bumps in the night. They're not mysteries that where you can, unexplainable. You can't understand. You can't explain. Nobody knows how they work. You know, they appear, then they go away. You know, it's just a, no, it's not what God's word says. God will do miracles for you. God will do miracles for you. Did I have you over there? Yeah, okay. In Hebrews. You're in Hebrews. I want you to see this. We're in Hebrews chapter 13. And I have much to say about all these things and much to say about these points, but this is just a kind of introduction to what we're doing here. But if you'll look right here in Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. I don't find a scripture. I found where it says that he could do many miracles there because of their unbelief. But I don't find any scriptures where somebody asked for a miracle and Jesus said no. I haven't found it. Maybe you can show it to me. I haven't found it. Usually it has to do with our willingness to believe God and to fight for it, all right? Not fade away quickly, but to fight for it. Fight for it in prayer. Fight for it in faith. Fight for it with the weapons of your warfare. So many Christians just fade away into the woodwork where they ask God, and 3 days later, God hadn't answered it, and then they just forget it and go on. Prayer doesn't work that way. Answered prayer doesn't come that way. We need to learn more. We need to learn more. We need to learn how to persevere. But do you see this? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. That means the Jesus that we just read, okay? That Jesus we just yesterday and today and forever. He's the same. He's the same. Now, look at verse 9. It says, do not be carried away by various and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited. And they started bringing in some strange teaching that had to do with food and being ritualistic. A lot of it was they kind of leaning back to the things of going on with the law and such. And so he's confronting them with that, with these strange, there's always some kind of strange teachings to try to get you off base and rob you of your faith and your purity, the purity of just devoting yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, But look at this, and I want you to see this. Verse 10, carefully. We who are in the Lord, we have an altar. And then it says, from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Okay, now those he's talking about the priest of the old covenant. The priest of the old covenant. We, did you hear that? Did you hear that the Word of God talks about you and me and Jesus Christ, that we have an altar? Let me read this to you. Revelation 9:13, just listen. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Listen to this. Revelation 8:3 says, and another angel came, and he stood at the altar holding a golden censer. What's that about? Well, holds incense. Ever walk into a room where there's incense? Right? I don't care what else is in that room or what else is going on. It immediately gets your attention, doesn't it? This is called, you know, getting the attention of Almighty God. Are you with me there? Are you with me there? That's what it's talking about. You know, God's over there. He's got his mind on something over there on the universe while we're doing this over here. He knows we're going, but he doesn't really, he's not really fully paying attention. Right? That's what it's trying to tell you and me, that God has given his attention to this. All right, let me read on. Let me read on there. I'll read it again. Verse 3, and another angel came. He stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he might add it to the prayers of all of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Prayers prayed are eternal before the throne of God. I had a Bible. I got a Bible, you know, and it was my grandmother's, and I got it. And in the back of that Bible was my name, my brother's name, all my cousin's name, and everything. And she had her names back in there and where she'd been praying for us. When I gave my heart to Jesus, my grandmother was already in heaven. Are you hearing me? That's the power of prayer. They don't go up to the roof, up to the sky, a few thousand feet and then dissipate. They're deposited at the golden altar. Up in heaven. Amen. Kathy, would you all come? You'll get ready. So praise God. That's the direction we're going to go. We're going to see God do remarkable, miraculous things. But you know what they were? They were a technology guru. All right? And you know, and I wrote down what they said. It may not be exact word for word, but boy, it really caught me. How about this? You know, this is what they said. They said, if you spend more time looking at a screen than you do looking into the eyes of your loved ones, maybe you need to unplug for a while. I will get to it another time, but Daniel chapter 12 talks a lot about how knowledge will increase as we get closer. Now, I'm not against technology, but it's got its bad points as well as it's got its good points. Okay? Now, pardon me. Don't just pardon me, okay? But it really gets me when I go into a restaurant. And I'll see a man and a woman, maybe their boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe their man and wife, I don't know. And they're sitting there at a booth, and they got their plates of their foods. And, you know, and here they both are. You know, now we're coming to the place where young people, it's not enough to have a cell phone. They don't even want to talk on the cell phone. What they want to do now is just text one another. Okay? And then they get more exposure to the world and to technology and to what is on so-called technology than they do about the things of God. You parents, I'm warning you about that. You better take control. Because I can tell you right now, TikTok is out to indoctrinate your children so that they can be destroyed. So that they can be destroyed. Now, you need to know this. And this is a full-time job for you parents and for you grandparents out there. Are you with me? And I know that it is hard. I know that it's hard. It's hard to get unplugged. But if you're going to keep from drifting away, this is one of the battles that is before every one of us today. It's so easy to be more entertainment oriented than it is to be seeking the face of Jesus oriented. And that's not good. That's not good. You have to discipline yourself in certain things. You have to lay hold. The Bible says to lay hold. Take hold. Fight the good fight for the faith. Well, if you won't ever put up your spiritual hands, how are you ever going to fight? Oh, no, yes, it is good and right to fight for the faith. Are you with me there? You got to fight for it. You're not going to bump into it. You're not going to bump into the power of God in the middle of the night. You're not going to bump into victory just one day. It's just going to drop out of the sky. You will notice that in the Psalms, it uses that when God releases his power, okay, and brings that victory, it uses a word. And the word is when they cried out. Doesn't say that they asked. That's not wrong. It doesn't say that. There's a phrase that is used over and over. Now, you know, that's not going before God and shedding just simply a bunch of tears. No, this is a temperature of heart and spirit before God Almighty. Crying out may involve tears, but not necessarily involving tears. It's crying out to God. I don't understand how any Christian can ever really come up higher in the Lord Jesus Christ if they do not have involved with them crying out to God. Sometimes that's exactly what God is waiting for. Sometimes that's what it takes for God to move your heart, to change your heart, to move it in a direction, a different direction, or get the things that he wants to get out of there so he can fill it with the things that he's wanting to fill it with, so he can answer your prayer, so he can bring you into every promise that he ever made in the Word of God. I want you, if you would, for all of you to stand for just a minute, and I'm going to close this in prayer, but the Holy Spirit is going to